Chapter 23. Etude, Brute? Be cool, Amelia. Be cool. I chant the words under my breath as I leave breakfast the next morning and head to the shell. The sparring team is practicing today for the trials, and I told Jai I'd cheer him on. That was before I realized I'd made a deal with the actual Necromuse, who is now determined to collect payment. All night, I dreamed about zombies chasing me around Mistwick, the Necromuse's masked face jumping out of the shadows. When I looked in the mirror this morning, my eyes were bloodshot. I stumble into the shell with a huge yawn and sit near the back, slumping down in the seat. Somehow Jai managed to squirrel his way onto Kirsten's squad, despite being a head shorter than any of the other students. He waves at me from the stage, where he's lined up for the first round of matches. How does he manage to look so chipper? I'm sweating up a monsoon beneath my coat, worried that someone will look at me and see the whole truth written across my face. Amelia Jones made a deal with the Necromuse. It doesn't help that Mrs. LaRue herself is here to oversee sparring practice. Apparently, she was once a world-class champion. Dressed in a blue pantsuit and matching turban, she sits on the stage, her cello primly propped beside her. Because there's an uneven number on the team, Kirsten recruited Darby to help out in practices. She stands opposite Jai, tapping her oboe. As if she can feel me watching, she glances into the audience and gives me a little smile. I smile back. Maybe Jai shouldn't have dragged Darby into my problems, especially without asking me first. But I have to admit, it's nice having her as part of the team again. She's braver and smarter than I am. Just knowing she's on my side makes me feel like things might turn out okay after all. Of course, there's the problem of Mia, but as if summoned by my thoughts, a voice whispers from the row behind me. I know where you went last night, Wonder Girl. My spine goes stiff. It takes everything in me not to bolt out of my seat. But that would only get everyone else's attention, including Mrs. LaRue's. Mia, I murmur, what are you talking about? I didn't go, cut the innocent act. Darby told me everything. My neck flushes with heat as, on the stage, Miss Nurani calls Jai and Darby to spar. My voice is a faint flutter. I don't know what you mean. The portal, Wonder Girl. The Midnight Orchestra. The deal you made. I grip the seat in front of me. Completely unaware of Mia and me, Darby and Jai begin their sparring match, with Mrs. LaRue nearby as referee. Magic springs from their instruments and forms two tigers of glowing light that stalk around each other. Fangs bared. She told you all that? I finally managed to say. Mia leans forward, her arms folded over the back of my chair and her chin practically resting on my shoulder. Oh, yes. She told me what a naive baby you are, and how you ran from this Mr. Midnight, and how you're sure to end up barred, or worse, before this is over. She leans even closer. I can feel the warmth of her breath in my ear. We sat up all night, laughing about it. My heart pounds against my ribs. I watch Darby, her focus absorbed in her spell, her fingers dancing over her oboe's keys. Her shimmering blue tiger leaps and pins Jai's red one on the stage floor. Laughing? I whisper. Is it true? Have I been this wrong about Darby all along? Deep inside me, the angry, wounded melody begins to sing once more. The notes skitter through me like scorpions. Do you really think Darby's your friend? Mia asks. You're stupider than I thought. My knuckles turn white from gripping the seat in front of me. On stage, Jai's tiger twists away and runs for Darby, but she responds with a delicate shift in tempo, and her tiger recovers to block the attack. The kids watching cheer, and I can see Jai's frustration on his face. Oh, Wonder Girl, Mia sighs. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but Darby was never your friend. You think I didn't know about the note Jai sent her? You think I didn't send her to check up on you so we could laugh about it later? You're just a joke to her, like you're a joke to this school. I would press my hands over my ears if it would do any good blocking out the roaring music pounding in my head. Don't let it out, I tell myself. Don't let it out. Finally, I twist around to look at her. I told you I was sorry for taking your spot at Mistwick. Not that it stopped you from getting in anyway. I gave up my bed, my room. I've given you space. What more do you want from me? Why do you hate me so much? I want you to stay away, she says. If I see you talking to Darby again, I'll tell everyone that you composed your fire dragon spell with a stolen memory. Yes, Darby told me about that too. Then they'll all know you're worse than a failure. You're a cheater. Mistwick will be disqualified from the trials, and it will be all your fault. This is the last time I'll say it. Stay away from her. And with that, she stands and walks up the aisle toward the doors. I slump in my seat, feeling a hole in my chest, tears stinging my eyes, angry notes sparking in my brain. Gasps rise all around me as Darby's tiger finally triumphs, breaking past Jai's and paralyzing his fingers long enough to break off his music. In triumph, Darby concludes the spell for both of them with a haunting note from her oboe. Not wanting Jai to see me like this, I rush out of the shell and straight into Miss Mott. Heavens, Amelia! She steadies me. Where are you? Her voice trails away as she takes in my crumpled face. She has Janet on a leash, and the dog sits and cocks her furry head at me, as if copying Miss Mott's expression. Do you want to talk about it? She asks gently. No. I brace myself, ready for her to suggest that I sculpt my feelings with clay or write a poem or something. Instead, she smiles, hands me Janet's leash, and says, Very well. Then perhaps you can exorcise this fluffy fool for me. She just won't settle down, and I've got a drum circle club to lead. Sometimes a good walk settles the most restless of spirits, don't you think? Oh, sure. Wait, there's a drum circle club? There is now? She laughs. I take the leash and watch Miss Mott float off, humming to herself. Then I look down at Janet. Guess it's you and me, huh? At least this is an excuse to get away from everyone for a while. I've never really taken care of a dog before. Gran is allergic to most breeds. But Janet seems content to take the lead, and we go on a stroll along the edge of the forest. She dives into every snow pile she sees, snuffs a bit, then carries on, her tail raised like a flag. The echo trees are restless today, sighing and singing their gentle music. I watch the shadows anxiously in case any portals appear, or worse, the Necromuse or one of his minions. But before long, my heart stops thumping so much and the heat cools in my cheeks. I sit to rest on a log near the amphitheater, where we find Miss Mott and a few percusso kids in their drum circle. Their magic rises in bright bursts of green that pop into smoky clouds overhead, magic smelling of evergreen forests. The bushes around them shiver in response to their music, leaves dancing in time. I wave down another percusso on his way to join them, a bongo under his arm. What spell are they playing?
Spell?
He lifts his eyebrows.
No spells in Drum Circle Club, just vibes.
Huh?
We don't play to do fancy magic, just to feel the beat, you know?
He shrugs.
We're percussos.
As if that explains everything. He joins the circle and is soon drumming away with the rest of them. I tap my foot to their tempo, scratching Janet's ears. How could Darby do this to me? I ask the dog. She stares at me with her big black eyes, wagging her tail. I don't get it, Janet. I thought we were becoming friends. I thought I could trust her. And she goes and tells all my secrets to the one girl who hates me most? Why? Was Darby really just playing me the whole time? If so, I am definitely the clueless, naive dummy Mia said I am. It's far too easy to picture them sitting in their room laughing at stupid Amelia. It just doesn't make sense. I squeeze my eyes shut, listening to the endlessly repeating notes circling in my brain, my terrible, furious refrain. But when I hear a sudden crack, I look up into the echo wood. That didn't sound like a drum. Then comes another crack, along with snaps and crunches and groans, like something's out there chewing up the trees. What in the world? The drum circle plays on, oblivious, their ears filled with the beat of their bongos and snares as the cracking sounds get louder. I stand up and Janet begins barking, her ears pricked forward. Miss Mott looks up then, frowning. "Janet?" she calls. "What?" Before she can finish, something white and misty comes rushing out of the forest, creeping along the ground at a rapid pace. At first, it looks like a flood of water, but the drummers begin shouting as it sweeps over their feet. One girl stands up, only to slip and crash to the ground, her drum rolling away. It's ice. Another kid yelps as the spreading ice washes over his shoes, freezing him in place. It flows up and over the amphitheater steps, the bushes, the lampposts, completely freezing over everything in its path with a layer of ice several inches thick. Behind me, screams start to rise from Mistwick. I spin around and see ice overtaking the campus from all sides, flowing out of the Echo Wood and pouring over the grounds, consuming everything it touches like a living, ravenous monster. The terrible sounds it makes, groans and pops and splintering cracks, fill the air. "Amelia!" Miss Mott shouts. She's stuck to her seat, ice creeping up her skirt. "Get the headmaestro! Run!"